Well, it's time now for our Campus Connection. It's when we get an update on the school board meeting that's happening tonight and on education issues happening at the school district here in Petersburg. Joining me here in the studio is Superintendent Erica Kluepainter and School Board Chair Sarah Holmgren. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, thank you.
All right, mics are working.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go over what's going to be on the agenda for tonight's meeting. KFSK will be airing that meeting live, and it starts at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But if anybody out there has a question, you can always call us here during this time if you want to ask a question about education issues. The number is 772-3808. Give us a call. On the agenda tonight, people will be talking about raising the price of meals at the schools.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we do have some information about that. To share, so each year the National School Lunch Program Food Service, they come through and they do an audit of the program every year, and then they'll send recommendations of lots of different things, and we always get lots of accolades here. I want to make sure that I do really give a shout out to Carly Johnson and all the work that she's done, and her crew, Carol and Juanita and Melissa. They do a great job. They had recommended that we might want to talk about increasing our prices so that we're not using as much out of the general fund. We are not going to raise them as high as they recommended. And we also, because they're weird numbers, like 362 and 286 for breakfast and stuff like that. And we've done that before, and it's not helpful for parents. You know, 250 or whatever it is just easier for people. So we are raising lunch 25 cents and breakfast 50 cents, still under the recommended amount that they, had suggested to us. But it's been about 7, maybe 8 years, I think, since they've been looked at, and that there has been a substantial amount of work done in the program since then, with a fresh, fruits and vegetables every day and a full salad bar, and our numbers are up overall in the district, and she does a great job managing the program in general. We actually don't put, an exorbitant amount of money from the general fund into it. It's very common to do that in school districts, but it's worth it. She's amazing what she does. I can't believe what she does with the things that she has and how she pulls everything together. It's incredible. Using local meats and vegetables and things from the garden, and she's very involved with that, and actually is working with Christina Sargent on a project for the summer, another grant that's come in to just keep expanding the garden this summer as well, so we're excited about that. She's mm-hmm. awesome.
You can't really beat those prices. $3.50 for lunch, which I think is really a bargain when my kid has lunch almost every day.
Yeah.
So
yep.
The quality.
Yeah.
So, and it's, like we said, we hadn't increased it for several years, and it's still not the highest what they recommend, but it's still, we want to keep it try and keep it reasonable for those that aren't, can't afford much more than that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And so tonight at the board meeting, it's kind of the board's going to confirm that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't want to speak for the whole board, but if we, you haven't had an increase for 6 or 7 years, that it seems pretty reasonable to request that since everything else, with inflation have gone up. But I can't imagine board members not approving it unless they feel, because then you still have free and reduced. People still can qualify for free and mm-hmm. reduced. So
and any
that
time people can
this is just for those that don't qualify and under that would be paying those mm-hmm. those amounts.
Mm-hmm. And the quality's there.
Yeah.
All right. Also, you'll be discussing some programs that are required by the state to be for all school districts. Mm-hmm. And I could be wrong, but I think the school district here has already been in the process of having training programs on, sexual abuse and assault awareness and mm-hmm. prevention mm-hmm. for all ages of students, kind of catered to their age group, kindergarten through 12th grade.
We've had it kindergarten, or I think it was it kindergarten through 5th grade, and then health class in middle school, and then 9th grade health class. This new act will require it K through 12. Every year. Mm-hmm. So although we've been doing it on our own or in mm-hmm. some capacity in the health class, it will now, it's filling up that gap of like 10th, 11th, 12th graders that may have had it in 9th grade, but now it's going to be required once a year that they have to have this educational component for, 2 or 3 classes. And then 7th grade would be, I think, 7th and 8th grade because mm-hmm. it's taught in 6th grade health anyway. So it is kind of, yes, we have been doing it. It's just not a full every year, K through 12. And so the new act does require us to do that. So it is making, and I think the more difficult part will be the high schools figuring out what time of year are we telling the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders teaching those lessons, and what classroom are you teaching it in? So mm-hmm. that still needs to be figured out, but it's the requirement is the fall is to get enacted. So, you know, you could argue the 10th and 11th graders, if they've been through the school system, they've already had this training, but now this act requires it to be annual instead of just a part of your health program.
Right. Okay. And does the state have kind of guidelines for how to present it to students?
They do. Yeah, they had a task force that came up with recommendations, and we had a work session last week where the board was there with several of the staff members that teach it currently. Principal Dormer was there to kind of talk about what does that look like for the high school, because that's the biggest challenge. Middle school and high school is fitting it in. But then also it was nice to have, we had the director of WAVE there as well as her assistant to kind of say, how can we help? And so it just happens this fall will be, the curriculum review will be PE and health. And so it may look different in a year from now, but mm-hmm. to comply at least for the following year, they're going to be using the current curriculum that they have been using to, and then with help from the task force with their materials too. So,
yeah, there's lots of good resources.
So again, you know, it's good training. It's good to teach kids that, but it's another one of those unfunded mandates from the state that now you must do this and good luck, find the money to do it and the time,
Yeah. Speaking of money, I wanted to ask about, and it's kind of the time of year where it seems like you're looking forward to the next school year, wrapping things up now for this year. Are there any updates on the state level in terms of education funding for the next fiscal year, which I believe starts in July?
Mm-hmm. July 1. They are in already, you know, they've already extended the session at this point. They're actually, I think, now almost 10 or 12 days away from the end of this first special
extension
session and moving into the next. So they're still wrestling back and forth. Basically, I mean, the nuts and bolts of it is basically the Senate's proposal. Is both the Senate and the House are proposing some restructuring of the permanent fund in some way to look at the kind of overall revenue picture for the state in general. And then the House also has a recommendation for, you know, an income tax or broad-based tax of some sort. The Senate refuses to discuss it. And I'm not necessarily weighing in one way or the other, but that's where it is. It's kind of a stalemate, really, and they're trying to put together a conference committee for that. They still have not really ironed that out as well. And so that's been challenging because they're also wrangling over the governor's budget and the House proposal, which says they were wanting to try to hold funding at flat funding, which is a decrease to us, but we actually expected flat funding this year. We've actually planned for it. As a district, we've actually been planning for this for several years. So not a surprise to us, in our district anyway. But then they, you know, came out a few weeks ago with their 5%, the Senate did, with their 5% proposal, which has caused a great deal of issue, as you can imagine, not just the amount of money, but also the timing of it, and that it's still not ironed out. I mean, people are long done. Most large districts are long done with their budgets, with their hiring. We're done with our hiring. So, you know, to us, it's anywhere from $335,000 to $350,000 at this point in the game it's just substantial. I mean, that's whole activity programs. That's, you know, whole swimming programs. That's two or three teachers. That, I mean, that's the kind of level, you know, that you get to. And we've really done we've been very sparse in our hiring the last, I would say, 5 years, to be honest. Even though our numbers of students have increased, we have not added, staff all over the place. We just haven't, because we've held it very creatively and on the backs of some really hardworking people to do it, so that the kids aren't necessarily feeling a pinch right now, which is good. They're kids. They should have access to everything we can give them, but we've worked really hard to do that. So we're kind of almost at that breaking point, though, just even staffing wise, to maintain what we do have, which is, we think, is a reasonable and appropriate and not an exorbitant program for our students. We think that it's we're proud of it, and it's a good program, you know, for our kids. So it's challenging, because that's a substantial hit that still hasn't been decided. So, I mean, that could be July, that could be August. I mean, what do you do with that, you know, at that point? So, and then still wrangling over secure rural schools at the federal level, getting lots of input and information from Steve and the borough about that. We've been
trying.
I'm
just glad they're talking about it again.
Yeah, yeah, and that actually, actually they are. Yes,
yeah,
they're actually
at the federal level. It's
meeting
like, oh, finally.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least talking about it when before it wasn't even a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Which really, it's more than just the schools. It's the borough. It's the community should be rallying behind that one as well, because if people remember that 15% of that money that comes in is used for roads in our community, it has to be used for upkeep and maintenance and new roads. Mm-hmm. And if we want that money to come, I hate to call it free, but it is, from the federal government, it's not just the school district that should be rallying to get that money. It should, you know, school district people or the board, it should be the entire community saying, hey, let's mm-hmm. inundate our legislators.
I do think that they just came through with some information about payment in lieu of taxes, though, for the borough, which is good as well,
because
that's the other federal program that, mm-hmm. again, doesn't necessarily come to us directly, but it does
impact us
mm-hmm. if they were to lose that funding. So I just saw that email came through today. So that's good news. But that's kind of how it's going. Like every day, there's something new.
So this summer isn't necessarily a break for everyone. It might be a break for students, but
yeah,
work continues at the district office.
Mm-hmm. Wrangling around with finances.
You mentioned kind of limiting hiring because of the budget, mm-hmm. But there is a new middle school teacher next year, mm-hmm. for social studies.
Alina Nielsen is on.
Is she going to be new to the district?
She will be, if it's approved tonight, she'll be new to the district. She's being hired to replace Mr. Schwartz in the middle school, so it's a replacement for retirement. At this point. So, yeah, and she's been doing a long-term sub for us at the middle school, actually all since Christmas. She's been there for a teacher who's been out on a medical leave. So she's done a great job, and she's from here. She grew up here and has been gone for 10 years or so, and fate or timing or I don't know, came back to town around Christmas and came in to meet. I didn't know her as well. She was a little older when we moved here. So anyway, she just came in to put herself on the sub list, and we said, you know, sometimes things work out here in weird ways. And she said, well, I'll sub as much as you can use me. And then there she was, subbing for the rest of the year.
She's a teacher, so.
And she, yeah, exactly. So she's great. She'll be great. I think a great addition to the staff.
Well, good. Anything else that the school board might be touching on tonight that you want to let the public know about that I haven't asked you about?
Part of our work session involved a little bit of discussion on out-of-state travel. We've had kids travel every year out-of-state for different activities, and we approved at our last board meeting a trip to Puerto Rico with Spanish class. And so the teachers that are involved with both music as well as Spanish and close up in the past, I kind of got together with the administration, Principal Dormer, and kind of, and I believe you as well, mm-hmm. kind of knocked out ideas or kind of a guideline for not only the fundraising guideline, but also just what does it look like over the next, you know, who travels when and what, and how many kids are we looking at, or what age groups are we looking at, mm-hmm. because, you know, close up caters more to juniors and seniors, but music is 9 through 12, and Spanish would be 9 through 12. And just kind of coming up with those guidelines, since there was some, I don't want to use maybe apprehension, but it was, you know, it was a healthy discussion at the last board mm-hmm. meeting, and so it was just to follow up and clarify what would actually be, I guess, more of the administrative regulation. What is actually going to happen? What does this actually look like now that it's been agreed to allow it to happen? So it was nice to just be able to talk about it and see what the group had come up with and guidelines that everybody was in agreement with and felt comfortable with, and to make sure we all felt comfortable. It wasn't a decision-making. It was more of a informational mm-hmm. and open discussion on what we thought was a good idea or not. And so it seemed to be, you know, pretty, I think most of the, if not all the board members were comfortable with what the teachers and the administrative staff had come up with as a game plan for out-of-state travel looking forward.
So. And I think just being, really just trying to acknowledge too, helping with planning within the district, and also being aware that anything we do with those trips does have an impact financially on a community, on parents, on the community in general because of fundraising and that sort of thing. So just trying to be aware of that. I think one of the things that came out to me during this, which was really good, which is what happens, mm-hmm. I think, from good discussions, is it makes you sort of dig into things more and figure out, well, what do we do and why and what are the the major fundraisers and all of that. I think what we discovered was we actually, when we really look at our budget, we have a very low percentage of fundraising as a district, actually. What I have seen in our community in the last, I would say, 4 to 5 years is and I've had people talk to me about this on the street, you know, well, these kids are always out doing this and that, and it's like, okay, some of these things are not school-related, though. There's a lot of just fundraising in general, and it's great. They're all great activities. I mean, you know, roller derby's a newer thing last few years. You know, kids traveling to dance camps, and I mean, just, you know, all fabulous activities, but I think there's a lot more of it, a lot more fundraising in general in our community, and it actually kind of sparked has sparked some conversations with people in general in our community. Like, maybe we need to try to do a little bit better job of even, you know, maybe coordinating events as a community a little bit better and not overlapping, you know, events or, I don't know. So I think that I think has also been a good, healthy part of the discussion. And we're also really excited about finishing up our cafe over there too, for people to be able to utilize that for some fundraising opportunities next year for food in an easier way. To actually do that. Yes.
Well, that's when we were talking about the dollars, how much does the school district students fundraise overall? And Jamie was able to provide that. It was about $50,000, which actually I thought was a lot less mm-hmm. than what I anticipated, because I thought, well, I think the swim team auction alone brings in
like 30, 25.
So you've got that in one night versus a student.
I don't want to say that for sure, but I think
that was
it's
my
like
memory
that.
From I mean, when I was involved, but yeah. I could be wrong too. But I just thought, you know, you've got that strung out over a 9-month period, and it's with all the different activities, that I thought, okay, it wasn't as big of an impact as I had anticipated when you really count. And that included everything that was affiliated with the school.
So it was just helpful, I think. And again, it's not a finger-pointing thing. I think it was
it's
actually
like,
just kind of...
How much do we do?
Right.
You know, it was more of a someone wanted to know, and so mm-hmm. we found out, because we thought, is it 15? Is it 30? Yeah. Is it 100? You know. And I guess up in Juneau, with all of their activities, were completely cut from the budget, so everything is fundraised, and that's close to $1 million that they have to come up with every year. I think maybe it was even higher than that.
Within their community.
Within their community, in order to just fund activities at this point. So I still feel like we're at a huge advantage that it's the
and
impact
think,
is, and I know there's a lot fewer people here in Petersburg, obviously, than Juneau, but that we're not there yet.
Well, I'm just trying to be, I think, respectful and aware of it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, you know, with fishing being not so great last year
mm-hmm.
and up and down, that makes it difficult. So just being, I think, aware of it is important. So we're mm-hmm. all talking about it anyway.
Yeah, it's out there and people can talk more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the meeting is at 7 o'clock tonight. It's open to the public. It's at the Middle and High School Library. Mm-hmm. But if you can't make it there and you still want to stay informed, you can always tune in to KFSK, because we will be broadcasting that live.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thanks. You too.